Thank y'all for tuning into Politics, Religion, and Whiskey, the Josh Terry Podcast, brought to you by Raising Grace Studios. Want to give a big shout out to Williams Tire, Nobles Networking, Red Circle, all the corporate sponsors. Thank y'all so much. Today's show is just going to be a shit show. I haven't done a drunk show in a while, and we're going to fix that real quick. I've got several really, really good friends here. Some you haven't heard on the podcast, and some you have. But we're just getting together today because the main man sitting in front of me, Mr. David McMahon, had a song come out today, and we went and played 18 holes of golf. We ended up befriending some lesbians who beat the shit out of us in golf. And anyway, David, say hello and tell them what the name of the new song that just dropped.
What's up? Yeah, it's called Whiskey Over Wine. It came out today. It's on Spotify. Having a little trouble with Apple Music, but it'll be there soon.
Fuck Apple. I mean, not if you're me. Apple, I like you. But for him, fuck you.
That's right.
They make me look cool.
Hey, they always give me a hard time.
Fuck them. Because of you, not because of what they do for me. That's right. Next to him, goddamn, if you've ever seen the Jack Links commercials?
Messing with Sasquatch.
Sasquatch. This show is also brought to you by tequila today. Mr. Avery Willis. Avery's first time on the show. We'll be gentle.
No, you won't. I know better than that.
I mean, it wouldn't be fun, Avery, if I was fucking nice. Mean,
who's in here is actually nice?
JD, the guy sitting next to you. JD Neesmith, our resident conspiracy theorist. Lizard Man, what the fuck? Chemtrails. How's that cryptocurrency doing for you right now?
It's doing alright. It could be better. Market crash, but fuck the market.
Yeah, fuck the market. Get closer to your mic. Jack that last pod all the way up. Alright, JD, say something else real quick. I'm not stopping it. Just say something else.
Yo, it's JD in the building.
Just keep going. I don't know, that wire must be bad or something. Say something else.
We out here trying to make a good podcast for my boy, Josh Terry.
There you go. That'll work. Next to him, the man with the best back in the building.
Oh, how you doing?
Cody Wiggins, my best friend since a baby. I don't know why the fuck he's here. He really has nothing to do with this. He was coming home this weekend for a baby shower that we both got to go to tomorrow. I was like, I want to see my friend.
So I'm here.
So he's here. So just going to be part of it. You got your guitar?
I do.
Why don't you go ahead and get your guitar out?
Sure.
We'll start it off like that. We'll kick off the show with you playing your new song, and then we're just going to bullshit until we get tired of bullshitting. By the way, will y'all please tell him how nice his hair looks coming out of that thing?
Wonderful.
On the golf cart today?
With the PBR.
How thin is that hair on top?
It's not?
You're self-conscious about it. My bad. It's because you hoard cowboy hats for all the years.
I literally have no chance. Every male on both sides of the family is bald.
I haven't had hair since 16.
I haven't had hair since I shaved it.
That was 16. So it was like he's the first person to shave my head. No, when you took it off when we was on the golf cart, I tried not to say anything. Because I was like, I hadn't drank enough yet to where I thought it'd be funny to mess with your insecurities.
I realized how bad it got not too long ago. My wife braided my hair and just messing around. And she took a picture of the braid. And I looked just north of the braid. And I was like, whoa, wait a minute. When did that get there? When did that get that bad? But, it's I'm losing it. But I'm going to keep it hidden as long as I can.
You better fucking do something else, my friend.
Put on more cowboy hats.
No.
Yeah, leave that alone.
I don't know what looks worse. Are you gonna have to shave it? Because there's no
eventually
way. There's no way you're gonna do the fucking horseshoe.
No, God no.
No, you gotta get bald.
It's gonna have to happen eventually.
It'll probably be good. Bald is beautiful. I mean, some of us wear it very well.
On you, it's beautiful.
I don't think I would look right with hair at this point, though. I've not had hair for so long. I don't know how to fuck. If I did, I'd want it to look like Avery's. Avery's got a fucking mane.
Yeah.
I actually just cut off about 5 inches about 6 weeks ago, 7 weeks ago, something like that.
If you would give me your hair, like, and I could have my beard the way it is with your hair, nobody's getting pussy in this world besides me. I will look like fucking, well, still Fat Thor, but it would look good.
It's a version of Thor. That's all that matters, right?
That's right. They're going to get my hammer either way. So, all right. Well, before we get into where we're going to get into, you have played me nothing but bangers and stuff all day. What's great about David, before the show got to be fucking anything, he's probably the first, I think you were third show. I'm thinking your second or third show that I ever did. And ever since October, me and him have been buddies. And I'm glad to see you doing well. And I've done nothing but compliment him all day, and I mean it. He's in fucking 7-8 months, you've grown a lot musically.
Thank you.
I'm proud of you, dude. So let them hear this gasoline you got.
Yeah, again, this one's called Whiskey Over Wine. It's my new one now.
I don't know why she can walk out so damn fast, and I don't know why I can't make this bottle last. She seems so content with putting me in a review. I guess it's something I miss, 'cause baby, I know you. I see through all your bullshit lies. I know that you ain't fine. And you walk through this damn life like you ain't got nothing to hide. But I bet you're at the bar ordering something that just ain't you. But tonight, she's taking whiskey. But I know that's just something that they both say. You can't hide behind your lies. I know that you've got your heart on ice. And I can't blame you even if I tried. 'Cause baby, you need a better disguise. A better disguise. All your bullshit lies. I know that you ain't fine. You walk through this damn life like you ain't got nothing to hide. But I bet you're at the bar ordering something that just ain't you. But tonight, she's taking you're at the bar ordering something that just ain't you. But tonight, she's taking whiskey over wine. She's taking whiskey over wine.
Good bitch.
Thank you.
That's a dude, fucking that's killer, a dude.
Oh shit! Let me get my fat ass back.
Man,
over.
I love that song, dude. Because I feel like it's just compared to my last release with Time, and it have such a heavy rock influence behind it, and then being able to go and record this one with the red dirt Texas country groovy sound to it really shows like the way I came up and the influences that I had. And then figuring out myself as an artist, like we were talking about earlier with listening from Stained to Garth Brooks every day. Being able to find that happy medium and put out both, I feel like just explains myself as a person and as an artist.
Well, I just think you're getting to know you. Definitely. I think you're figuring out what works for you and how you're authentic.
Definitely. Yeah, like I said, like I was talking about earlier, like I feel like with time, my last release, that which I found still fucking, my sound.
That's a banger,
and
though.
Now I'm honing that sound in. That's the way I feel.
Well, I mean, from the first time we talked anyway, like, it almost felt like you were trying to do Co Wetzel. You wasn't doing you.
Oh, I was so big into him at that time. He drew such an influence on me because I got into him big. And then being able, like right before COVID hit, going to his show at Tallahassee at the Moon and being able to get on his bus and talk to him and his bandmates, like it just sent me through the roof, dude. Like, I was so happy and so influenced heavily by being able to meet somebody like that and then him listen to my music and give me advice, and Mason and Otis and Shiloh and all of them sit there and talk to me one-on-one. They're like, yeah, that is like what heavily influenced me to really chase this was his sound. For
How
sure.
many drugs was on that bus?
Too many.
God, I want to get on that bus.
Too many. I just remember, at one point, I remember having two solo cups in my hand, not knowing what's in either one, and just drinking both of them. That's how a summary of the night went.
He looks like he has the most fucking fun on social media. You can just tell, like, he's like, fuck it, cancel me.
Yeah.
Did y'all see the video where he's pissing and he says, I'm not a cowboy?
Dude, that was so funny.
Oh, my God.
I missed that one.
Oh, he's fucked up. Like, good and fucked up.
He's got the cowboy hat on.
Yeah, and he's sitting at the urinal and somebody says something to him. And I don't know how much y'all drink, but I've been in this mindset before to where you just think something's a good idea. Like, this is how you're talking. Like, in your head, it's like, I get it. So they said something to him. He turns around, looks at the camera, and says, well, maybe I'm not a cowboy. Oh, I fucking like him so much. Yeah.
Such a cool dude, man. This is genuine.
He just doesn't seem like he's let any of it bother
him. On what you see on Instagram and all that is the way he is when you meet him. That's what I love about him.
He don't get caught up in the mainstream much.
Yeah, no, he is true and true down to the bone. Like, that's just who he is. He is himself. And that's what I admire most.
I think that's why he's just murdering everything he touches right now, too.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Well, you know, he pulled that we don't give a shit attitude. His big, with all that ragweed and influence from him.
Yeah.
And so Cody, you know, there's a few interviews where Cody Canada pulls him off to the side. He's like, man, I know you act like you don't give a shit, but I know you really do, but keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
And he's just kind of like, okay.
So, no, I don't
and
think
I'm,
he gets,
dude,
I don't.
I'm 100% glad he's doing what he's doing because it's basically redefining music because he's just like, hey, I'm going to do what I do.
Well, it's a whole, you don't like it. We were talking about this earlier when he was playing golf. It's not a genre for it.
No.
I know they call it country grunge, but it's not a fucking genre. No. It's not. Like, we had, you had, like, in the 60s and 70s, you had a heavy blues influence into the music, and then 90s got here, and it was southern rock, and now it's like this, and you're like, I don't know what it fucking is, but I dig it.
It all goes back to that Texas scene, because that even back then in the Canadian ragweed days, that Texas scene was so much different, and without social media back then, the world didn't get to see it. Mm-hmm. So then, now you got a new age guy like Co, who's drawing influences from that, as well as their Nirvana and the harder rock stuff and all that, all blended together. It's something that the world hasn't got to see yet, because back when those guys were originally doing it, there wasn't social media.
Yeah, I mean, I ain't gonna lie to you. Like, I still don't know a shit ton of cross Canadian ragweed. And I don't, and I'm good on troubadours. Like, I'm good on turnpike. But I'm still not probably as well versed as people who really like them. Like, I'm
sure that's personal taste.
Oh, yeah.
No, but some of it's so, I mean, I just haven't got to it yet, though.
Texas guys are coming out, though.
Oh, yeah. When you get all that whole turnpike, you better just stay away from the alcohol. Because it's going to make you feel...
fuck that.
It's going to make you feel so much more deeper. And
good something Lord else. Lori.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, brr. Dude.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck me.
Yeah.
What? All right, do y'all know the deal with Miranda breaking them up?
Yeah.
I don't know. So somebody
Evan,
tell me.
Yeah, I would say Evan, her and Evan were in a relationship or something along those lines. And from... I don't know how much validation's behind this, or... She apparently... is the one who really fucked Evan's mind up more than what it already was. I mean, because even before Miranda, you know, you can go back and listen to the earlier albums and go, oh, wow. And then when he comes back and then Miranda's here and then it's like, oh, shit. Like,
it's probably that classic thing of, like, you know, I'm sure he already had his own demons and all, and then him and Miranda got together, and it was a good thing, but it was toxic, I'm sure. And it just kind of ruined it for the both of them.
Well, she had, like, he had to be before Blake, right? Or was it after? Right after Blake?
I want to say it was after.
Yeah, right after.
Because when did Turnpike break up?
It was like two or 3 years. Oh, yeah, I would say it wasn't, but like 3 or 4 years ago at most. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, they were all good, but they'd get on stage and Evan wasn't able to, you know, he wasn't remembering lyrics. He was so drunk. You know, it was a lot of stuff. But now, you know, there's a lot of releases that he's out of rehab. He's sober. He's back, you know, writing and playing and stuff. So the fact that he's doing that is doing a whole. You know, everybody's like, all right, so when's the next Turnpike album? When's the Turnpike shows? And I'm sitting here like, all right, who's loading up? We're going to Texas or Oklahoma to go see these guys.
Do you realize what he's going to write about fucking Miranda?
Oh.
Oh, man.
Holy fuck.
It'd be no different than if it was like Jason Isbell, you know?
Yeah. Bitch.
You know what I mean?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same thing. You got to be careful what you say around guys like that because – or any situation or something, you're going to end up in a song.
I don't understand how more people are not obsessed with Isbell.
I don't either.
I don't get it.
Stay away because I'll eat up every ticket that I can anytime
I can.
My God.
Like, that was – I can't remember if it was last – COVID. Of course it was. That's why I couldn't go. I was trying to figure out – I had bought tickets to go see him in Atlanta, and it had been the first time I saw him. Couldn't go because of COVID. Son of a bitch.
He's doing nine nights at the Ryman.
Yeah, I saw
in October.
I ain't gonna lie to you. It's gonna be hard, hard for me not to buy one. Yeah. I don't like his new album that much, the one that came out around March last year.
Yeah, I know which one you're talking
about. It's very hippie.
It's not his best.
It's very hippie.
They, you know, Dave Cobb even said, you know, it's Jason though.
Yeah.
It's who he is because he's pulling everything. It's like going back in the conversation of Coe. He's got so many different influences. He's like, all right, so we're going to do some Floyd in this song. We're going to do a little bit of blues in this one. We'll go some bluegrass here. You know, we'll just kind of throw it all around. And
have
him
you listened
pulling
to Jason Isbell?
Not that I can
I'm
think of.
I'm going to fuck you up, boy. Elephant.
You play the whole Southeastern record.
I'll download it.
Oh, my God.
The whole Southeastern record.
Oh, yeah. Is that the one that's got a...
That's got Elephant, Cover Me Up.
God. The Morgan Wallen song, well, it's not Morgan Wallen. Morgan Wallen does Cover Me Up.
He was talking about that the other day.
Jason Isbell.
Yeah, okay.
But
it's been out for years.
Yeah,
and Morgan covered
it. When Morgan does it, it's good. It's very, very good. But when Jason does it, you fucking feel it.
Yeah.
You don't know what that bitch went through. And I tell you, that one right here, Elephant. Elephant's the one in Flyover States and Flagship. Yeah. He just doesn't have a – it's poet. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, it was John Prine. I mean, you think about it, that's who he pulls so much from.
I did not get into John Prime until the past year. Like,
It's one of those.
It's still hard to get into.
He's one of those guys that when you get into him, you don't get into him when you're still trying to figure yourself out. You get into John Prime when you've gone through everything in life, and you're like, oh, shit, this guy's sitting here speaking about everything that he's been through, and now he's just telling you his story.
That's facts, right?
And it's like, oh,
Montgomery
shit.
Is his song, right? Angel from Montgomery?
Yeah.
Yeah, now that one right here.
Yeah.
That's a fucking banger.
Oh, yeah.
I don't care. Angel from Montgomery is grown.
Yeah.
I have no idea what fuck we're going to talk about on this podcast. I figure we all be drunk by
back
now.
On Isbell, though, The Last of My Kind is probably my favorite song.
Dude,
is such a good song.
God. That the Nashville Sound album's really, really good.
That's the one that's got Anxiety and Vampires on it, right?
Yeah.
Anxiety is
good.
Oh, yeah.
Just turn Jason fucking Isbell on. I mean, that's just, you don't have to explain anything. You know who the High Women are?
Yeah, because his wife's in it.
So, before the album came out, they released a video. It was like his wife's name, Amanda, right?
Yep.
Yeah, Amanda was on stage. And Jason was on stage with Brandi Carlile and everybody from the High Women. And he's like, I wrote this gay country song. And, like, I'm watching the video, and I'm like, oh, fuck, Jason Isbell's going to get fucking canceled. Like, I'm just expecting the absolute worst fucking things to come out of his mouth right now. And I didn't realize when he said it that Brandi Carlile was gay. I didn't know. I didn't know. So he wrote the song for her from her point of view. And anyway, it's called If She Ever Leaves Me. Holy shit.
I don't know if I've heard that.
Oh, y'all haven't? Literally, like, one of the lines in the song, it's a woman talking about a woman, and it's like they're out at a bar drinking, having a good time, and all this bullshit. And this cowboy comes up and is trying to take her girlfriend. But I think, like, the way they play it, it's like they're not together, but, you know, they fuck around or something like that. And my favorite line in is, Cowboy, that's too much cologne. She likes perfume. And it's like, oh.
Ouch.
Like, oh, shit. Like, so. Ouch. And Brandi Carlile's a beast.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Dude, that whole setup of the High Woman is just phenomenal.
They're so good.
Their cover of The Chain is probably one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah. Well, they redid, too, the song from The Highwaymen.
Yep.
They redid it.
Yep.
It was good.
Yep.
Like,
it was good.
Oh, yeah.
It's good. But if she ever leaves, I play it. I promise y'all, when you hear If She Ever Leaves Me, knowing that Jason Isbell wrote it, you're like, this is fucking girl. Like, this is an Isbell song. I like it. What do you got going on now, Avery?
Right now, you know, I'm still going through everything that I went through with my mom back in November. But slowly getting over that chapter of everything, getting back into music, kind of had to put a lot of things on hold, about to get all my stuff back in Nashville, about to start hopefully getting back on the road, getting my face back in Nashville, really. But other than that, building a, you know, home studio down in Statesboro to give more of a studio aspect so I can start getting back into doing bass tracks. I'm also wanting to get it to where I can provide a local spot for a lot of local musicians that don't have anywhere to rehearse. Because you go Atlanta, Nashville, all these other bigger cities, and they've got plenty of places. Plenty of places they can sit down, they can go in, they can go, hey, look, you know, $150, I need 3 hours worth of just rehearsal space. Man, there's so many bands that can't start up down in this area because they have nowhere to go. Amen. And so I'm like, you know, look, if I can take something, turn it into a studio, give these guys a place to rehearse, and it's not really going to be something that's something that's going to hurt me,
yeah,
but help the area, which there's a lot of other ideas I've got going on, but I'm in the middle of that, and hopefully I'll have that done right here in the next couple months.
Well, if you need any help,
absolutely.
I got a lot of extra shit. Hey. That's what we're going to do. Like, I've got several extra rooms back there.
Yeah.
And we're going to end up having a full production studio. Probably not the best demo version of something. The highest quality you can get without going to fucking ruckus room or something. Like, yeah. Best you can do. In this area is what I'm going for. But you're right. Like, there's so many talented musicians that are in Georgia, and they just don't have a fucking place to go.
No.
You spend 20 minutes on TikTok, and you look up Georgia musicians, and all of a sudden you're like,
fuck. There's a lot of them. Man, there's a lot around Statesboro. There's a lot of bands. They have nowhere to go. They have nowhere to rehearse. So then they get up on stage, and they're, like, trying to figure each other out there instead of, you know, scrounging up $100 together. You go sit in a room for 4 hours to be able to rehearse for 4 hours worth of music. And then they get to start really exploring to be who they are, you know. And then that was something when I was coming up and, you know, in that scene down there, we didn't have. Man, we practiced in storage units. We practiced wherever we could, and we can get an outlet and a couple hours to where we could get in there and just hash it out.
Well, that's what, like, and it hadn't really been that way yet, but that's what I wanted a lot of everything here to be.
Right.
Was just a safe haven. And I guess, for lack of better words, for musicians just to come and create.
Right.
Like, that's what I want to do. Like, I don't even know if you write. I've never even asked you.
Well, with everything that's gone on within the past couple years, it's been something that I've gotten started messing around with, but it's not something that I'm very good at.
It's a good release.
Yeah, it's something, even if it doesn't make sense to anybody else, but I've written it out on a piece of paper, I've typed it out in a note in a phone, or, you know, whatever it may be, it's like, you know, this feels good.
You'd be surprised at what your feelings and your emotions and your thoughts can translate over to other people.
I believe it.
I'm just saying, I'm very bad at it. Like, I'm more of concepts. I can come up with good concepts.
Right.
And I can put it down, but then it has to be super fine-tuned.
Right.
Like, me and Tucker, he'll not steal. He'll sit here and tell me, he's like, I saw what you put on Facebook. I've turned into a song. Like, usually when I'm fucked up. Like, I'll get drunk and I'll write something out, and I just like writing. It's just
loose thoughts.
Yeah, it's such a good release.
Yeah,
it is. Some of it don't make no goddamn sense. I fell asleep like a month ago, blacked out, phone on, like notepad, and like I wake up the next morning, and it was where I had started something, and I'm reading it, and I'm like, I don't know what the fuck I was feeling before I went to bed. And I don't know who wrote this bullshit in my phone, but I was sad. I was missing somebody.
That was Drunk Josh.
Yeah, Drunk Josh is a cocksucker. He be putting me in some weird fucking situations. I like it. I like just to put something down.
Absolutely.
We went on his little brother's, which is like my little brother too, but his actual stepbrother's bachelor trip back in November. And I got emotional because I was thinking about telling my friend goodbye, and like, but from the aspect of when you graduate high school, you gotta tell your friends bye, and then when they get married, gotta fucking tell them goodbye again. But then when they pass, it's a whole nother goodbye, right? So like, I had wrote like this long thing.
He had
up.
A good idea.
That's good.
It was a really good idea. It's telling your friend goodbye, yeah. And like, I don't know. Like, it just something hit me at the time, and I was like. But
now, we was a lot of alcohol in.
A lot.
I mean,
I don't even
woke
know,
up chugging.
I don't even know what the words were. Like, I know what the concept was.
Right.
But I don't even know what the fucking words were. But it's also like, I guess it's hindsight. It's just like me and you talking earlier when we were talking about the Luke Combs song, Six Feet Apart. I think that they completely, not ruined it. I think they missed the best aspect of that song. With the grave being six feet down, and how somebody didn't put in that we're 6 feet apart.
Well, hindsight's 30-30.
Yeah, it's like, okay, well, maybe they just slipped.
Yeah.
But I know that my dumb ass, if I thought of it, I couldn't have been the only one that damn thought of it.
I think they only did that song just because of COVID.
They did only do it because it's about COVID.
Because
good God,
I love, don't get me wrong.
Everything said 6 feet apart. Stay 6 feet apart. 6 feet apart.
I don't think
they ever pushed it to what you're saying.
Yeah, but people died from COVID.
I get that, but I don't think that's what they were going at.
I got you. I
mean, I know exactly where you're going with it, and yes, that would have.
But I always think that shit about songs, though.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm weird. If it ain't morbid, I don't fucking like it. Like, I want your song to make me cry.
Yeah, and that's, I feel like that's like 75-80% of listeners nowadays. Yeah. They want that shit that hits them in the chest.
Yeah. They don't. I mean, yeah, everybody likes a good drinking song. Everybody likes to have a good party upbeat song. Yeah. But most people, you know, they're gonna want something that's gonna make them connect to it.
Well, I feel like even now, when like an artist that's more of a poppy artist comes up with something real, example, Sam Hunt.
I love that dude.
Sam Hunt has a fucking song called 2016.
Yes, sir.
2000, because it's Sam
Not
Hunt.
My style.
Never, no,
Not my
it
style.
Would be.
So.
You've heard it. I'll play. We're going to write down a song list, and we got two songs to play for now. 2016 should have been recorded way differently than it was recorded, but when you fucking listen to it, Sam Hunt's been through some shit. And that's why I can kind of like vibe with some of it, but he's got a line in that fucking song. It's like, I thought I wanted my freedom, but it turns out now that chasing dreams and lonely women isn't freedom after. Like, it's boom. You're like, Sam Hunt.
You can get mad at that dude for his sound all you want to, and I'm totally okay with that. You can sit there and hear Sam Hunt's Body Like a Backrate and be like, that shouldn't be on country radio.
Yeah.
That's fine. I respect that opinion 100%. But I'm not going to get mad at a dude for putting out the sound and the music that he grew up in. He grew up in a mixed neighborhood. He grew up with both influences. I expect him to put out something real. Like, if he went and did a Luke Combs record that was just shit-kicking country, I'd be disappointed. Because that's not him. And I respect him so much for doing what is him. And it falling on pop charts or it falling on country charts is just the way it falls. He ain't forcing shit on either way.
You know why I respect him? Because he got a DUI driving backwards down Broadway in Nashville.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That is the most outlaw shit you can do. And I am here fucking for it. Like, of all the people you hear. That's also a reason why I like Morgan, though.
He probably drove backwards just because he knew every curve like the back of his hand.
Ah, look at you.
Ah, genius.
Ah, look at you. Comedian. Better leave jokes to me. You just keep writing good-ass music.
That's the goal.
Yeah, I mean, fuck. But it's that way with everybody now. Like, even, it's all cookie cutter. I like the people. That's why I like your music.
Right.
Is because it's not. It's something. It's redefining. I think the outlaw generation of musicians isn't over with. I think it died for a little while or went away because everybody was just too concerned with money.
Yeah.
But now it's like, because of social media and because of mainly Texas artists, if you ask me, selling out arenas and shit and not having to have record deals, people are going back and doing what the fuck they want to again instead of doing what they have to.
Well,
places like just, you know, we talked earlier about how, you know, nobody has CD players anymore. Everybody, and how, you know, streaming kind of hurt, but it's also extremely helped a lot of people. I mean, before streaming come around and everybody had a studio in their closet and at their house, how were you able to get music out to everybody besides print a CD or burn a CD off on your computer at home and go stand on a street corner and hand it out to whoever you could?
Yes.
Now you can take it and you can put it out wherever you want to.
To somebody in Washington or Oregon.
Well, that's what I was saying. You go to your Amazon Music or your Apple Music or whatever. You've got a button right there that it says share.
Absolutely.
And you can share it to Instagram, Facebook, TikTok.
Somebody on the other side
of
the world can just happen to scroll by that and click on that.
I shared stuff and that got Josh in the stuff.
I didn't know who Creed Fisher was until he got me into it.
And it's all because it's also your on the Amazon Music. You type in, say I type in your name.
Right.
It brings up your music. Well, it's going to tell me similar artist.
Yep. Right.
What I want to know, all right, if you sound like him.
Did he say similar?
Shut up.
What's
singular and similar put together?
You good. Similar.
It's all the same shit.
I see your name on his, then I'm going to click on you.
For sure.
And guess what? And then I've heard a whole
Spotify's the same way. When you scroll down on an artist, it says people who like this artist also like. I love that.
That is literally how I discovered.
That
is literally how I discovered Co Wetzel and Parker McCullen, because somebody showed me Tyler Childers. I was listening to Childers, and it was like, artists you may like. And Co was right here with fucking February 28th.
Isn't that awesome that it connects Childers with Co? That's two opposite
two
ends
totally different
of genres.
Oh, yeah.
But they're the same type of artist.
They have that same
sense.
Absolutely.
Like they're that independent, raw, just doing doing themselves.
If you go back and listen to like Waylon, Johnny, Willie, all of them, right? None of their stuff sounds the same.
No,
they all have a different sound to them. And I think that's what's going on now. I think how country went pop for a little while, I think it's redefining itself. And the men are just going balls to the wall. But I tell you, the women right now are the ones that are completely changing it.
They're crushing it. Under the radar,
God,
too.
Yeah.
Like, it's under the radar. I wish they were getting a little bit more notoriety.
When Ashlyn Craft, when more people hear her stuff,
she's so good,
good
man.
Good God.
Yeah. I met her at Blue Room. We had played, it was end of 2019, she had opened for John, and they were supposed to be outside, but they actually moved everything inside, and we played inside after John. It was really confusing how that whole situation worked. It was like John played, and then they got off the stage, and then we got on the stage and went back out. I was like, kind of feel like John opened up for us, but we know that wasn't the situation. But yeah, I talked to Ashlyn then, and man, and to see, because what she, was it, The Voice, American Idol? She was one of those,
yeah,
she was
the
on.
Voice.
And I saw her there, and that's where I heard her. I was like, you know, at some point in time, she's gonna pop off.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then now that she's went in, she's done these covers with, like, Mechanics Wanted, with Wallin's Band and stuff like that. Man, the more and more, every time you turn around, Ashlyn Craft's right there. And, I mean, she's going to be
– I feel like
she's already
Casey
starting.
Musgraves and all,
oh, yeah,
like, the girls like that, especially her in general, paved a big road for some
of
those
girls. I think the one that started it all, though, I think was Ashlyn McBride. I think Ashlyn –
oh, yeah. She's so good.
I think fucking Ashlyn coming along and saying, fuck you guys.
Yeah. Is I am who I am.
I saw her open for Eric Church in 2017 before I knew who she was, and a lot of people knew who she was, and she just came out and just kicked ass. Like,
yeah.
I mean, just put on a show like she was number one on the charts already, dude. Like, she crushed it.
I'm telling
it.
You, I went – Lee Tucker invited me to his fucking – the first time I got ranked in top 100 on podcasts in the world, Lee called me, and he was like, you cannot miss this. I'll make sure you get in with us, but – come on, you got to come now. Come out to Nashville. There's a writer's round that Kristen Kelly was putting on that night.
I remember seeing your story.
And
oh, yeah.
He's like, you can't fucking tell nobody who's going to be there.
I remember that.
But come on, because once they announce that, there's going to be a line outside the fucking door. And it was Dylan Carmichael, who I'm obsessed with, Ashley McBride, Ashlyn Craft, Allie Colleen, Kristen Kelly. I mean, it was the best lineup for a writer's round I've ever been to. And even like the people that was like on the first tier of it, bangers. I mean, it didn't matter what they played, it was bangers. And it was, everybody likes Kristen Kelly. So it was like a little celebration for her new stuff coming out. And I heard Ashlyn Craft play this song. It's called SOB, our son of a bitch. Like, she actually spells it out, a son of a bitch. And oh my God. I don't know if y'all have heard it, but it's talking about him dating or her dating somebody, and the person that she's dating, she's pretty much saying, the only thing wrong with you and the reason why we're not getting married is because you're a son of a bitch. Like, talking about how she can't stand her fucking mama, like the old dude's mama.
Damn.
Come on in and have a seat. We're recording, but come on in and have a seat. Is that, what is that?
It's like a ukulele.
A ukulele. Yeah,
holy hell.
But, no, I'm telling you, like, the first time I saw her, it was... I was blown away, but then out of nowhere, Allie Colleen, she just does her thing, and I'm like, heart beating out my fucking chest. I was like, ooh. I like you too.
You've opened my eyes big time to her. She is phenomenal.
She's special. And I tell you, you knew the song today, and I was so surprised that you knew Casey Tinsel's song, yes, Middleman. Holy that it's whole group, but they're anger. All friends. That's what's cool.
Oh, really?
Is, yeah, like they're all buddies. So Laney Wilson and all them. I don't know if you heard
I
that.
Saw her. I saw her. Laney she opened up for Frank Foster.
I saw her at a writer's round not too long ago.
Yeah, she's got that song, A Things a Man Ought to Know.
Mm-hmm. Dude.
And the whole time I'm listening to that song, I'm like, God damn, what else do I need to know?
She opened up for Frank Foster in Woodstock at like the Brick House.
Yeah.
And man, as long as she signed, she worked, she was on stage. Did her show, then came out and worked her merchandise.
Yeah.
She was out there talking to Sloan.
Matt McKinney did the same thing at the Trey Lewis show, dude. He was out there taking pictures, talking to everybody,
that's
dude.
That's way to do it. And we really appreciated that. We don't know if she was going to make it big.
You don't get many artists that'll do that.
You don't.
Well, even Matt now. Matt is... like, everybody in Nashville wants to write with him.
Oh, I bet.
And it all because, and Matt McKinney was a badass before he wrote Deep Down in Dallas. And sad thing is, Trey Lewis was too.
Right.
Yeah.
Trey Lewis.
He really does have some, he has a lot of really good songs.
He is.
Yeah.
And it's just that song.
It's. You know what's funny?
I saw
Matt McKinney post on Facebook, the Billboard had sent them the number one. Whatever.
Yeah, the record.
Whatever. It was
right.
Cool, like
yeah.
Summer
record,
album
record,
or whatever. And he was like, he was apologizing to his parents. But it was like in a funny way. It was like a funny way. It's like, Mom and Dad, I know y'all spent a whole lot of fucking money on me to become a musician. And this is the first song that I get number one. This is it. Dig Down in Dallas.
Great. That's fucking
good. Because his parents, I guess, from what someone else told me, they might fucking not be anything like this, but this is what I was told. Real reserved, real conservative.
Oh, I can see that in him.
But Matt is just, Matt's fucking gold. And this people that he's working with now, ever since he signed his deal, I was telling, we were talking about was playing golf, just the impact and how different your music sounds after you get put with other people. Hannah Dasher. I love Hannah. God. Hannah used to date my boy Tyler. So that's how we got to know her. Like, she's a fucking beast.
That new
beast.
Record is fucking fun.
She's a beast, so good. But she was never as good as what she is now. But, like, she got to fucking hang out with Dolly and pick Dolly's ear a couple weeks ago. And then she's writing with these people that have wrote with massive. So it kind of makes you think, like, you know what? I'm not that bad at what I do. I'm just poor.
Honestly, I'm
pretty fucking good songwriter if you give me some goddamn money.
Hey.
But put me in a room with Dean Dillon. One of us is going to make a number one hit, you know?
Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm going to give you one line. You have to write the rest of the song.
Well, man,
that's how this is going to go.
We were talking about earlier, you take It Ain't Tonight, my first single, produced here in McRae, which thank God for Chuck, because I never would have chased this if it wasn't for him and him producing that. And then you go to Nashville with shout out Jake Parshall and Grady and Frank at Fudge Mastering and all them, and you go over there and do something with them, and it brings you to a whole nother level when you get in with musicians and producers and engineers like that. Like, it just,
Chuck Hutchinson down in McRae is about the best in this area for doing what he does.
I've learned a lot from Chuck.
Now if you call that son of a bitch on the phone and you tell him you have a problem, he's gonna walk you through every fucking step to where you just like, I'm just gonna deal with the problem.
And alternative steps.
Good God. Yeah. But I love it. He's cool. We have we drank a couple beers in here and talk shit. He likes to get deep into politics.
Oh, yeah.
Good God. Yes, sir. I love politics. And I'm just,
he's
like,
an intelligent dude.
He is.
Man, there's been a lot of times me and Chuck's finished up shows and we'll sit out there in the parking lot for 2.5-3 hours after the fact, and I'm like, all right, look, bro. I'm tired. We just played a 4-hour show. I'm ready to go to the
hour
house.
And a half, you're in it.
Oh yeah,
you're in it. You don't realize, and then you're finally like, dude, I've been talking to this dude for that long.
Oh yeah, but he's very smart with what he's talking about. He's very in depth. I mean, he's not going to come at you with half-ass information.
No. He's on point everywhere around.
No, he's.
Yeah, you better know your end of your story before you go to Chuck. That's all I'm going to say.
He'll correct
you. Oh yeah,
I'm gonna tell you
real quick.
One of the longest shows that I've done was the first time I had Chuck in here.
Oh man,
and it was back in the old room before we even moved everything up here to have more room. And I don't even know what we talked about, but we didn't even get to the point of what the fucking show was about.
Hell yeah.
Like, we talked for like 2.5 hours about everything besides why the fuck he came here.
That's wonderful drunk talk, Dan.
Oh, God. That's what people...
You never get to the point.
There's been so many people messaging me, and they were like, when is the next drunk show? You haven't done a drunk show in a while. And I was like, well, first off, nobody likes to drink as much as me. And then you get somebody like Tyler Branch's bitch ass. Tyler, I love you.
Them stories take forever.
I don't know.
I love you too, but
Tyler will start a fucking story. And
he goes in very good detail.
As a songwriter, you know, you got devil's in the details. Like, you got to, you want to paint a picture in somebody's mind of what they're listening to.
It's there.
He don't fucking paint a picture. This bitch paints a picture and writes a novel. Like, there is nothing. Like, I know what color the walls are in his fucking dreams. Like, he's like, this is girl. I saw her, man. And there was this, like, this black backdrop on the wall. And then there was a popcorn ceiling. And there was a fucking, she had a studio light pointing towards her. He's like, what was the story about, Tyler?
So, I got this question. Yeah. And go back to music. When you go to do a song or whatever, I don't know much about music.
No shit.
Does everybody tell the story of where the song come from before they start it?
Some people do.
I mean, like, in a writer's round, more of that for sure.
I've seen it a lot coming here. That's why I was just wondering.
A lot of.
Go ahead, Dave.
As a songwriter, like, I feel like some songs don't need explaining, and then sometimes you want to explain it because there might be a twist or a play on words or something that people can get crossed up, and sometimes you want to explain it. Or if it's like a heartfelt song, like if I took a song about my granddad, who I was pretty much, that was my dad growing up, and he passed away in 2017 because of ALS. Like, if I wrote a song about him, then I would want to give a backstory on.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
I got it.
But like with like my latest release, Whiskey Everyone, that, I don't have to explain that. You can tell what that's about. You know what I'm saying? Like if you have a song that means so much to you and you want it to touch somebody the same way that writing that touched you, then I see more artists giving a backstory.
I mean, I like it.
I personally, if I'm sitting in a writer's round and an artist gives me a backstory on a song, I'm tuned in. Like, yeah, I'm zoned in. Yeah. I'm going to listen to that song now that I know what's about to come. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get it.
I feel like it definitely helps draw your attention in, for sure. But like I said, some songs you don't even have to. Some songs explain themselves.
Yeah. You're right. I like the ones that Dylan Carmichael, he's got the one that fucking I'm obsessed with now. He's got to put on fucking CD. It's called I'm a son of a mama, son of a dad, son of parents that give a – I mean, it's fucking grown. But – he starts in going into Casey Bedford, him and writing a song together. And it's where he goes, sits down, and Casey's getting ready to write. And he's like, I got an idea, but you got to roll with me on this. He's like, I got it in my head, but it ain't going to sound like worth a fuck until I get it all out. But you got to listen to me. And I love when you don't really know. I like when there's some twists and turns in it, and it ends up having a completely different meaning than what you originally thought it was going to have. I love that shit.
Kathleen's a good example of that.
Fuck but Kathleen.
Like when you're scrolling through Spotify and you see Kathleen, and you're like, okay, that sounds like a old country song talking about an old Kathleen girl or something, then fuck Kathleen. And you're like, whoa, okay.
Yeah, but let me tell you, Lee Tucker... And I love him, and if he listens to this, he's going to be mad, but fuck him. He should have been here. He was so brokenhearted. Like, when that girl, I got to see the heartbreak, the breakup, everything before he wrote Kathleen. So, like, I remember him being at my fucking house crying and drunk and us going out and her showing up at a bar and him walking out the back door. And, like, the guy that she was with, like, coming up saying something and me about knocking the fuck out of this guy. And, like, Lee wouldn't let me. He's like, I don't want any more bullshit. I just want it over and done with. My heart's broke. I can't fucking take no more. And so when he actually put pen to paper, because he wanted to tell this girl to go fuck herself so bad. But he couldn't write a song talking about, hey, fuck you. So, like, I remember him saying... You know what? I can't say fuck you, but I can say fuck your town. And then everybody's like, oh, yeah. Fuck Kathleen.
Well, you got to be hurt to, like, there's so many artists that'll write a sad song or a diss song about somebody that broke their heart. You got to come from a bad place to be like, fuck the whole town. Like,
oh, you don't know.
That's a heartfelt story there, dude.
Let me tell you. That's a vindictive little fucking liberal. When that bitch get mad, get the fuck out his way.
Yeah, we ought to write a song.
What song mean you gonna write?
Fuck Eastman.
Yeah, we'll get right on that. Have y'all ever heard, like, speaking of Lee Tucker, and I feel like every time we're talking about him being a dickhead, I have to tell his story. Do y'all know the story about him in the back of the pickup truck?
I don't think
so. Have you heard it? Mm. All right, so we went to a bar one night, and Uber came to get us, and there wasn't enough room for everybody, so we ended up, I don't know, some other guy who wasn't an Uber took us to my apartment in Macon. And so we're in the back of his truck. And the girl that I was dating at the time brought one of her friends. Her friend was a complete bitch. I'm talking about rude, snobby, mean. Lee Tucker done had enough. By the time it was to go home. Like, he doesn't like, he tried to be nice. He tried to buy the girl some drinks when she didn't want anything. Like, he's like, look, I ain't trying to take you home, sleep with you or nothing, you know, just trying to be friendly. We're all at a fucking table. You know, she wouldn't take none of anything he bought. He was in the right, kind of. We get in the back of that truck, and he's drunk. When he giggles, when his fat ass just starts giggling for no reason, he is hammered. And this girl says something about, I don't want to ride the back of this truck. And Lee looks at me, he's like, I'm finna cuss this bitch out. I'm finna hurt her goddamn feelings. She don't get her fat ass in this truck. And I'm like, oh, Lee, you can't do that. He's like, whatever. She's got one more time, it's over with. Girl says something to him, and Lee looked this bitch dead in her eyes. He said, look, you can't be big and have bad attitude. You can be one or the other, but you can't be goddamn both. And I fucking about fell out goddamn truck. He said, you can't be big and have a bad attitude. Be one or the fucking other. Damn. And it was, oh my God. That girl got in her fucking car so fast when we got to her apartment. I'm pretty sure the girl I was dating had to leave, but everybody was laughing. I mean, because she had it coming.
Rightfully so.
She had it coming, but we never imagined that it was going to be that fucking good. Lee has the best, though.
He pissed the songwriter off. You're about to get hit with some shit that you ain't
heard. Oh, wait.
I got some stuff that I'll play y'all that he ain't going to put out that is fire. He's got one, and Lee Tucker probably don't know how to throw a goddamn punch. I mean, he might like some Hawaiian punch, but that's about it. Like, that's all he knows.
I don't know. Lee probably get pissed and be like one of them crazy fuckers.
What the fuck's he gonna do?
But he's like one of them crazy ones. It's,
what is he gonna do?
He's a big boy. He probably throw one of them haymakers.
He might
throw one, but it's gonna be one.
He is not a goddamn butterbean.
Hey, he's good. He's good for a minute. Anything after that, you got to go.
That bitch, when he's at the beach, he got drunk. And he already got mad at me.
Him being pissed off the whole time?
He was pissed off the entire fucking time when he's at the beach. We walked down on the beach, and the first thing, we just got there. We was walking out Pineapple Wheelies with our drinks. Me, him, and Dustin. He was mad. Like, Lee, for a fucking solid week, was pissed the fuck off. Don't know why.
Because they were saying at the beach.
Yeah, we walked down on the fucking beach, and the first thing this bitch says is, sure there's a lot of sand. And me and Dustin Heron are like, what the fuck? And then he was so fucking mad because the girls that we knew from Macon that were there had FaceTimed me. They saw us at Pineapple Wheelies. They're like, hey, come down here, hang out with us for a little bit. So we was going to walk down the beach. Well, they clearly zoomed in on Pineapple Wheelies from where they were at. We did not, it was not, Lee Tucker going to tell you it's 3 miles. It was fucking like 3 football fields, maybe. But you know, walking in sand is a bitch.
Oh, yeah.
Lee was huffing and puffing and mad. And we finally got there. We sat down with him and was hanging out for a little bit. And we got ready to go. He's out of drinks and everything. And Lee looks at me and Dustin here and he says, look, I'm just going to walk back up the highway. Y'all get me a goddamn Uber. he was not going to walk back to that sand. But Dustin fucked with him so hard, he ended up getting up and walking back. But he was just mean. He was mean as fuck the entire trip. He told one girl, not at the beach, but like a little bit before this, Lee don't have, I don't know if, have you been drunk around him?
Uh-uh.
Okay. Lee, I mean, he's a man, so, you know, he get a buzz, got one thing on his mind, and he is not shy about putting his cards all on the table. If he knows he ain't got nothing to go home to, he will straight up ask a girl towards the end of the night. He'd be like, hey, so you gonna go suck my dick while I watch South Park or what? Like, Jesus. He'll do it. I swear to God, that bitch will. I've seen him do it.
He's a funny son, bitch.
God damn. When he gets pissed off, it's the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. But it's just like, it's like a pissed off little baby. You ever seen like a baby get mad, throw a tantrum? This is what Lee Tucker. You're like, what the fuck are you really going to do? Like, you're probably going to load your shit up and leave. We don't want you to do that, so we'll back off or whatever. He got mad as fuck at me.
You're going to have to call and apologize to him.
I'm like, not. I am not calling and apologizing to shit for Lee Tucker. Not even kind of. It was funny. When he hears his podcast, I mean, he might be like, whatever.
Well, yeah, but y'all he'll picking on him by the damn house. When he orders his food.
You cannot go to a restaurant with him.
No, when he orders his food, he orders lunch and dinner at the same time. That's it. That's his own
goddamn fault there. That's his own fault. It's actually smart. He does not, like, the days that he doesn't have anything to do in Nashville, he will sit in his chair. He has very nice furniture, too. I could sit in that goddamn chair all day, too. He sits in this chair. He does not move. If there was a built-in shitter to that chair, Lee Tucker would not get up out that fucking chair. So when he calls, like, DoorDash, because he won't take his ass down to anywhere in Nashville to get food, so he gets DoorDashed everything. He orders dinner and lunch and breakfast all at the same time, and then he sets it by his chair. I went into his house, and, like, he still had Chipotle bowl, like, a rice bowl sitting next to his chair. And I was like, Lee, what the fuck? And he was like, oh, that's supposed to be dinner. I forgot about it, buddy. Like, and it's whatever. Okay.
A different level of comfort.
Lee don't care. Not but he's either. Also, if any of us called him right now, he's there for it. I mean, he will go above and beyond, help you in any way.
Many times I've seen him and met him, he's an amazing dude. I mean,
he really is.
I mean, he is.
That's why everybody in Nashville talks so highly of him. Like, to hear somebody like Matt McCuney and all these people rave about Lee's songwriting. And, like, I think when Lee first got to town, I think he rubbed some people the wrong way, kind of, because he wasn't really right with nobody. But I that's what I thought at the time. Now I think that he's just completely came out of his shell.
Yeah.
And, like, he's writing with Blue fucking Foley. Blue Foley has, like, 3 Grammys for Ashley McBride. And they're buddies. He's going to Denmark. Is it September?
Yeah, I think
he's going to
September.
Denmark with all these people for a songwriters convention.
Hell, he just came back from, where was it that he was gone? Like 2 weeks ago,
down at the beach or somewhere.
You talking about the writer's retreat down in Florida?
No, he went to another country.
Oh, shit.
Oh, he hadn't done it yet.
Shit, he was going somewhere a couple weeks ago.
He went to Texas. He went to Texas here recently with Kristen Kelly and all them, and he went to the beach in Alabama. Not the beach in Alabama. He went to this lake in Alabama.
I was like, he was floating down a river and that shit.
That's when he was with Priscilla Block, who, by the way, is fucking... Priscilla's a mate. All right.
I thought that was when he went to the other country. I know he had talked about it.
No. He's gone to that. When he goes...
He's going to Italy or some damn where.
You almost had it right. It is overseas. He's going to Denmark.
Where the fuck is Denmark? I don't know.
It's not in Italy. He's going, but he's also going to Ireland. Charlie. What did you fucking just say?
You heard me.
No, repeat it because
one
I was.
Of them I words. Italy.
It was one Ireland. Of them I words.
Iraq.
One of them. Just
yeah.
One.
Yeah, he could have been going to Iraq. Hell,
that's how you know you from Georgia.
Dodge County Education.
The only I word you need to know is ISIS. Is you like you fucking real close there with that hair, my guy.
Put a mask on.
Like, that bitch ain't never wore a mask.
I will never be masked.
No, you got to put that little hoodie thing on everywhere.
Turban?
Turban hoodie. Shit.
Hell, I don't know
God
what they wear.
God damn it.
I'm not Iraqi.
Oh, my God.
You're not Iraqi? Nope. Did you just say I'm not Iraqi?
Yep.
I ain't Iranian either.
Yeah. These colors don't run, boy. I'm red, white, and blue.
I mean, I basically am a terrorist to the U.S. government, so.
Oh, Jesus. Where the fuck did that come from? Really? I told you.
Basically. Here we go.
No.
This goes this formally. Here we go.
About fucking time, JD. Yeah, thanks for joining us.
We're going to prison now.
The frogs are gay.
It'll be all right.
Did you say
we only do 25 to
life. Alex Jones, man.
Oh, Alex Jones is fucking out there. Alex Jones, I can listen to him for about 10 minutes, but when soon as that bitch's blood pressure goes up, I know,
I'm locked in, dude.
I'm not.
I'm locked in. That is a show that I enjoy thoroughly.
I'm like, how is this motherfucker worth all
that
this
old
money?
Clip of him and Joe Rogan and Uncle Joey Diaz? It was probably early 2000s of them, and that shit was
well.
Great.
It was when the election happened last year. Alex Jones was on Rogan like a week before the election.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yep.
And Joe and him got into this fucking argument.
He was pissed at Joe.
Yeah, like he got into this fucking argument, and so they had this whole build up thing to where for the election they were going to do a special to where Alex Jones and some more people was on there.
Tim Kennedy was supposed
to
come.
And they was like, "Fuck that shit, you're not coming." I don't know. Like, I think him and Rogan really got in. Joe Rogan is not somebody that I'd want to fucking piss off.
No,
nope,
no.
That kick is hell,
dude.
Yeah, boy, I'm telling you.
Bet more than a kick.
That's my goddamn like idol in all of this because he's so fucking good.
Right.
He met Trump over the weekend. Did you hear him talk
when
about
he came
that?
To the fight? Yeah.
Yeah. He met Trump over the weekend, and I think you got to see because he's always talked not very positively about Trump. But he's been kind of negative.
But during that election podcast, you could tell which side he was on.
Oh yeah, but I just don't. I don't know. He's got money. It's hard for me to believe if you're a liberal. Like, if you got a lot of money, you're a liberal. It's hard for me to believe. Like, you don't believe this shit. Like, you don't want to give the government your money, you rich bitch. You're saying what you got to. So, you know, like, Beyonce and, like, when Jay-Z and all them came out and was like, oh, yeah, Biden this, Biden that. You want your money.
Puppets. You owe them $10,000 now for saying their name.
They can suck my balls. I don't care. If Jay-Z and Beyonce's listening to this, I'll give them $10,000 because I'm going to blow the fuck up.
We're doing something right.
We're going to be wearing Rock-A-Wear up in this bitch.
Janitor.
Yeah. Well, fuck, I'm supposed to go to that thing tomorrow and actually be around somebody that's worth what they're fucking worth and at their plantation.
I'm worth what I'm worth.
Bitch, you don't even know where Iraq is.
I don't.
You don't? Let me help you here. It's the Middle East. All you got to ever do is say the Middle East.
It's over there.
It just covers all.
It's far away from here. That's all he cares about.
Hey, yeah. I'm not going there, so.
You're like one more comment away from writing a Toby Keith song.
Hell yeah. Hey,
we can make it happen.
Dude, it's about there, dude.
By the way,
Toby,
if
you listen
to
this, love what you do. What?
We got to go to war before he can.
Bitch, we're at war.
When have we not been at war?
Alright, Cody, hold on. This is fun. You like to listen when I fuck with people and say, listen to this.
I don't care.
What year was 9/11?
Come on now.
You're fucking with me.
One?
Yeah, you got it right. You got it right. We've been at war since what? 2002? 2003?
What? I mean.
Get close to your microphone, dumbass.
I mean, like, pure out.
War. What do you think? They started got into in playtime?
You're talking about a civil war.
You think you've been building sandcastles?
Like, yeah.
No.
Hell no.
It's not like war within the United States.
Is that what you worried about?
What the fuck are you? What are you talking
here
about?
Here we go.
I mean, I'm worried about war within the United States because the it's coming to a real point in time to where.
here we go.
Agenda 30 and the New World Order is coming around.
Oh, yeah.
And they're going to be coming door to door asking for vaccinations. And the South ain't going for that shit. So we're going to start blasting. Like, anyways, we start blasting.
Hell yeah, brother.
That's how it's going to go down, another civil war within the United States.
Well, I heard your comments before the show, so if it's another civil war, I know what side you're on.
I'm with South.
I'm just playing. This is a joke. Nobody, he's not racist. He hates everybody. That is funny. No, you're good, are Grandmaster.
You gonna drink that?
I've been holding it for like fucking forever.
45 minutes ago,
if you're gonna talk shit,
I'm
talk shit into your microphone.
No, I'm not talking to
that bitch. They can hear. They hear this in the background right
he's
now.
He's been holding a shot for about 45 minutes.
I wasn't in a rush.
Oh, it's hot.
We can tell.
Yeah. I was trying to be professional.
When have you ever tried to be professional?
Shut.
This is the wrong episode to be professional.
Yeah, you're right. You know what we should have done?
Yeah.
We should have made it cool with everybody's wives. and the Lizard King.
Well, my wife, my wife dropped me off. So well, you know my wife's cool.
We should have been like, hey, look, you remember how, like, what are they? Some who else? Anybody else in here watch South Park besides me?
Oh yeah.
Okay. What was the episode where they locked the Crips and the Bloods in the gym? What's it called? Is it just called a lock-in?
Maybe.
It's something like that. That's what we should have told our y'all's wives, that we're going to lock the doors and we're going to do a podcast. I don't know when we're going to do it, but we're going to drink a lot first and then do it. Let me tell you, when JD gets fucked up,
My wife would love
you
it.
Ought to hear him and Lee Tucker go back and forth. It is the best, because I can't ever tell where he's starting to convince Lee of something, at least it's fucking with him. It's wonderful. Lee will be like, so explain why there's reptile people. And, or whatever the fuck you call it. What do they call lizard people?
They're reptilians.
There you go.
What?
No, I promise you it's good.
Alien species.
Tell them how you know that's real.
Well, in the Bible, they're called the Nephilim. To where they were fallen angels back in the Bible called the Nephilim, and they fell from righteousness and were created them evil, and they mated with humans on earth. And I don't know if that's like the credible fucking story to it, but
you mean
all I know is
did
that
you
they're
say
fucking
credible or incredible.
Yeah, they're credible. I mean, there's many. There's too much to explain
I
on this podcast of information
the
that I have consumed.
Just like giants.
Well, yeah, they were giants, but
so what? Are they shrink?
That's a good question. But
none of your questions are good. Or statements.
I can't really explain to y'all in a nutshell of how I fully believe in this theory. But just know that I do, and it's something that I will stand by till the day that I die.
You just have to hear Alex Jones.
You just have to. Yeah, I mean, you have to get Alex Jones. I mean, he's crazy,
you
but
need to get a little spit
he has
on you,
he has a lot of truth to him. So,
at what age did you start doing drugs?
12.
That sounds fucking about right.
Oh shit.
12.
And ain't put the shrooms down since.
I want to do them. I've never done them.
Me either.
The only reason I want to do them is I literally take so much shit that Joe Rogan says to heart. With him microdosing, I want to do it. I want to see what happens. But I'm scared shitless because I know how
fucked
up my head is.
It's not a microdose when you do shrooms.
Okay.
You can microdose.
There definitely
when you
is.
Do shrooms. You got to do it real small. Yeah, you got to do it real small.
You just pick real small mushrooms.
I don't know if that's how it works.
That's not scientifically proven.
If you want to go somewhere, do DMT.
That's what they microdose with. But that's actually like the chemical, though.
No,
right?
You do not.
It's
you don't really microdose with DMT.
It's produced in the brain, but you can also get it from a root, the bark of a root, and you can make it yourself. But you'll like travel dimensions, and you'll go talk to spirit guides and fucking talk to evil spirits and positive spirits.
It also comes from the perspiration off of a certain type of frog that you can find in the desert as well.
There's a chance in hell. I just know how fucked up I'm going to see everything.
No.
Well, I can imagine that if you've never done a hallucinogenic like that and you just go straight to that, you're probably not going to come back from whatever planet you go to.
You metaphysically die when you do DMT. Your soul. If you have a breakthrough on
what
DMT,
the fuck is metaphysically?
Like you
outer body.
Like oh, you have okay. An outer body, like your soul is lifted from your body and you go to another space in time/dimension and you talk with other species that you can't
see.
No way in hell. There's no way in hell.
Good.
Nope.
No.
There's enough fucked up shit right here. I ain't going to another dimension.
For someone who's an advocate for mental health awareness,
can't be
helped. All I can think about is I'm just gonna fucking sit there and see myself killing myself the whole time, and like I just don't want to get locked in.
No,
I don't want to get locked in a
room
with that.
That's not a dungeon you want to be in.
But one thing like I have like really looked into, and it is like HBO just did a special on it. Is ayahuasca, how it like repairs your brain. So, like, there's a lot of people that have had really bad concussions, PTSD, and all this stuff now. Like, they're like it's an old Indian fucking drug or whatever. It's ayahuasca. It's like reprogramming brain. It's the only thing they've ever found that can take back the damage of a concussion.
Yes.
So it's like there's got to be something good to it then.
Right.
I feel like there's some good at everything in all that, of it. I would say anything that's a natural remedy, they've used it for how long? And then we had all the new big farm come around, and here we are taking pills for everything instead of actually trying to find a natural remedy.
The only pills that big pharma needs to keep making is Adderall. Adderall and Adipix. Outside of that, don't take nothing.
Oh, no.
Your brain is the most powerful source in this planet. You can literally cure yourself if you believe.
Okay, I got you, but you literally licked my ear. Cody had back surgery this
week. You're lying.
Or last week. And he's recovering from it. He's got like a whole goddamn computer. Like a whole Dell desktop took out of his back. And it looked like a fucking Dell desktop.
No, on Thursday they took.
I thought JD was getting up to look at his back.
They took out.
Yeah, maybe.
They took out like all these damn wires and connections and all kinds of. I was hooked up to a remote. I had a remote in my pocket. Controlling the shit in my back.
No, sir.
Yeah.
What? I don't fucking know. He sent me pictures.
That was yesterday. They took it out yesterday. That
sounds like a test dummy of
all the wires and all that.
What was the purpose of all that? What was your
spinal cord stimulation?
Okay. Yeah.
I'll stimulate it, baby.
See, my buddy and slash
boss. You touch my goddamn earlobe again with your tongue, you're going to stimulate
something like that done. And she had the remote stimulation, but it wasn't in her back. Like, it was a back brace that had it built in.
Oh, no.
It wasn't like that.
They ran cords up my spine. And
like with a scope or something, like just yeah, real small,
I
mean, like,
yeah, it the one I just had was real small,
right?
And it was two holes. They ran.
Did they have to stitch it up?
No, not on the trial.
Right.
That this was just a trial to see if it works or not. Right. If it worked, then
take your ass back to the can.
I'll go for surgery.
You got them bottles are mine.
I'll go for surgery in a couple of weeks or
I don't like
a month
drinking
or so.
Cans when I got bottles.
I don't blame
Love you, JD.
When they do surgery, they'll actually have to cut open.
Yeah,
and
of course. I was asking because like when I'd had my knee surgery, I had a torn meniscus.
I had the same thing.
When I did that, I had regular stitches, and then a couple of years later, I had a labrum on my shoulder tear, and they repaired that with the same way with the scope.
Yep.
And they had the stitches that like dissolved, but you don't have to get taken out. I thought that was the coolest thing.
I did that same thing. I had two meniscus surgeries. I had a shoulder surgery. I had a metal rod sticking out. You remember that?
Yeah, I remember.
I had a metal rod. That was at your nanny's funeral when I did that.
You did, it's true.
I came to her with a broken arm, and I didn't even know yet.
Yeah.
I went to the hospital that night.
What wigs me out about like the synapses and all the cords running up to you, there's this thing right now that Elon Musk is trying to do, and it freaks me the fuck out, but it makes sense. It's where he's wanting people to get like hardwired. Like it's insane. But he's trying to develop to where we can communicate with each other without fucking talking and all this other stuff. Like, you're a built-in phone.
Well, one day,
that shit.
At work all week, everybody walked up to me and stood beside me to see if they could get better phone service. And I'm like,
you work with people just as smart as you.
I'm like,
that
dude,
is some
that
fucking
is not
shit if I've ever heard.
It's not going to work that way. And then I was like, well, I'm getting this implant. And they was like, oh, you're going to be great phone service then. I'm like,
getting that 5G.
It has nothing to do with your phone service.
I feel like,
hey, this is what's building y'all's government airplanes. So
I don't get on goddamn airplanes because of this.
Yeah, I don't either.
You think I'm scared of airplanes? You can't get me to go to a carnival. Because
I know.
I see the people that put together the rides at the carnival, and there's not a fucking chance.
Did y'all see the recent? There is not a fucking chance.
It's not that I'm scared. Yeah. It is not that I'm scared.
Yeah, you seen the recent video that's going around where it's the one that spins around and all this other shit. By the time it starts going back and forth and all the people in the crowd catch it before it falls over, like they try to stop it from flipping over. Fuck that.
You just know a meth head's running that, too.
Absolutely.
The Perry Fair has convinced me that if you work at a carnival, you don't have a fucking tooth in your head. You don't have to fill out an application whatsoever to work at. Like, it's like, hey, you like crack or meth? Okay. Depending on your answer, that's what ride you're going to be on. Like, no. Fuck that. Those people are the worst looking people ever. And they all smell like cabbage. Every carnival worker I've ever got close to smells like cabbage.
Why do you get close to them?
Because you have to give them tickets.
Fuck that.
Well,
I don't
give them tickets.
Well, no, I don't.
I'm not getting on the ride.
My daughter's 10 now. Like, and I'll be like, tell Gracie, like, Gracie, look at the people put this shit together. Gracie's like, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, we need to go together then, because her and Peyton would be great. Because that means me and...
Did they take out some of your drinking ability with your spinal cord?
Yes.
I can tell.
I told you.
You're good over there, slurry. What? Why are you covering the fucking mic up? Do you think just because you put your hand on the end of this mic that the surrounding isn't going to pick up the audio? They're still going to hear you do it.
The other seven mics aren't going to hear
you. Yeah, that's fine. It's fine. Fucking idiot. Good. Good. You know what we have to do? We're about to end this one anyway.
What?
But you know what we have to do? We have to get hammered, and we have to get Daddy. We got to get Donnie.
We're
going to
stop at the house.
We are not stopping by his fucking house.
Yes.
No. No. No, because, bitch, I'm not going to tell him that your back's fucked up. He's going to pick you up, and it's going to be cute.
That's okay.
No, it's not. You just had back surgery.
I got another surgery coming up. So.
Do you?
Yes.
We ain't having it tonight, bitch.
Well, that's fine.
Anyway, we're done. Because nothing's going to make sense real soon. I don't know how the fuck we went from reptilians to fuck Cody's back and my dad. I don't know. This is a weird one. If you could cut out probably the first 30 minutes of this show, because it kind of started off slow, it progressed very well. It was a very good time.
No, the first 30 minutes was him playing.
Oh, not besides for him.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, good job.
Say hi.
Get
close to the
mic.
There's lizard people, and we don't like our acts. I could pick up my new single.
You're one of the ones that critique the show. You're like, I couldn't hear them. I don't know why.
No.
I could hear them 1 minute, I couldn't hear them.
No, why?
Because they do the same stupid shit you're doing right now.
There was
you're talking
one whole
to
show I couldn't hear
table,
nothing.
But you're like, that's not.
There was one show I couldn't hear nothing, and you said you had it messed up.
That's a couple ones. It depends on how drunk I get.
Exactly.
That poor girl, she's going to listen to this, and I'll get a fucking text message. She cussed me fuck out. The Paige girl, the one that's made like $1.3 million on OnlyFans in a year, that was here doing the show. For some reason, her fucking mic, her mic was fucking turned all the way up. I guess it was a bad cord. Didn't know it was a fucking bad cord. She got big mad. Like, as big as her titties mad.
Yeah, I got the bad mic.
No, you didn't. You stupid ass. Just won't get close. You got a fucking very expensive brand new mic.
It's broke.
You're broke, bitch. It's broke.
Space kind of says it.
It's unplugged.
God damn, I'm finna unplug you. Anyway, I'm done with this. Tell everybody the song once again. So it's about you tonight. Tell everybody.
Oh, Whiskey Over Wine. Like I said, we're having a little trouble with Apple Music, but it'll be there soon, I'm sure.
It's on.
It is on?
Yeah, I've already downloaded it on Apple Music.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I couldn't find
you
it
You were
earlier.
Looking up the bisexual fella.
Oh, no. Yeah. So YouTube,
oh, backstory.
YouTube's a whole other story.
Oh shit.
Yeah, that was YouTube.
Oh, my bad.
I put out my first music video to my first single, It Ain't Tonight, and went perfectly fine. Went on my profile just fine with my distribution company, District Kid. And then I put out my second single, Time, and it went to, I believe, Andrew McMahon, who is a bisexual artist. It went on his profile.
Why can't he just be an artist?
Because there's There's a difference whenever a difference I'm putting here. Out a song that's 100% country and me doing it.
He was not 100% country.
Do your thing, dude. Do your thing. But like,
apparently you can't suck dick and write love songs.
I don't want my song to jump on his stuff. You know what I'm saying? I'm sure he doesn't want my song on his stuff.
I think he wants you to jump on his stuff.
That might be possible.
That is possible?
It might be. So, I don't know the guy.
So it sounds like there's been a conversation between two of them.
Yeah.
Not yet.
So
but we
tell
can not
me there's yet. A chance.
So what you're saying, there's a chance.
60% of the time, we're just 100%
of the time. By the way, we love the fucking Alphabet Mafia, Rainbow Community, where the fuck you guys are going by today. You fucking, whatever you guys are, I love you.
Yeah, but everything I posted on YouTube was going to his profile, so I'm still trying to get that fixed. I just kind of turned it off.
I thought you told me earlier that was happening on Apple.
No. That was
and I thought it was so funny.
And that was on Apple, but 10 times worse.
Because I was like, oh shit, I'm having this guy like hanging out with me all day, you know, talking about how cool he is. And then, like, I'd posted something where they're like, oh, he's a man child, or whatever, he's a grown ass man child. And then I was thinking to myself, oh shit, I'm telling everybody to go look him up, and he's going to go to this bisexual fella's page. And they're like, oh, Josh is getting banged later. Like, that's what I was like. Everybody, I was confused.
I hate for somebody to look up my song and then listen to it on that guy's
what
profile.
What was the name of that fucking song that was so big? You ever watched Tosh.0?
Yeah.
It used to be funny. I haven't watched it for her.
Yeah.
But there was a song that was like super fucking famous on YouTube and stuff. And it was like, what? In the butt. I want to do it in the butt. Where? In my butt? In my butt. Like, I was just like hoping and praying that if when they went to look up this bisexual fella, they're like, he had a song like that. Like, that was what I was hoping for. Like, y'all go check out David McMahon.
Like, I didn't realize at first. I thought I was just another guy with the same last name. And so whenever I realized that my stuff was going on his profile, I clicked on, I think he only had like two songs, maybe only one. And I clicked on it and started listening to
only
it.
Only so many ways you
and
can
I was
write
like,
about
okay, he's like that Hozier kind of Sam Smith kind of vibe. Okay. And then I start listening to the lyrics and I'm like, oh, this is where my songs are going?
Oh. Wait a minute.
Let me get on DistroKid real quick and tell them this is wrong profile.
Google, what's YouTube's 800 number? There's no way.
Customer support.
That would be my luck, I'm telling you. I've looked up the other Josh Terrys in this world. I'm glad that nobody else is like, I'm going to fuck
so
my
So if a record label's listening or a publisher, somebody help me so this don't happen again, please.
He does not want to be confused with the bisexual community.
Regardless, it could have went to Elijah Borders or somebody. I'd have been like, hey,
we're still talking about still the bisexual community. You end the song.
That's it. It's over.
Set it up on a fucking tee.
Fucking skeet shooting with buckshot, baby.
Yes.
Oh my God.
If those who don't know, we know Elijah Borders.
Love you, Borders.
Funny. All you gotta do is see his outfits, and you're like, oh yeah, you'll take one in the pooper. We're just playing Borders. Oh,
they may be. I'm not.
All right, Avery said, fuck you. If you really want to. He does put on a good show. I enjoyed very much watching y'all that night at the Blue Room.
That was a fun one.
Borders, if you're listening, you need to write with me. If you're listening, for sure. We need to write one.
I bet you want him to write with you now. He ain't going to write with you.
I ain't got a last name for no reason, man.
Oh, fuck. All right. Well, anyway, McMahon.
Whiskey over wine. Y'all can check it out, just not on YouTube.
Thank you. Avery, thank you for coming. Yeah, fuck you. Don't bring it back to it. There's so many,
so
like, there's so many fucking bi jokes I'm over here thinking of right now.
Canceled.
Yeah, exactly. I love the gays. So it's okay. Like, they love me.
That's what matters.
I'm fine. They know that I'm just playing.
We got the our only ass ones, looked by some
the
lesbians
only ones that
in golf.
Did we?
Bad.
First off, like, these lesbians that we played in golf today, hot.
Let me tell you, that one girl was crushing like 200 yards with a 6-iron. Like, it was nothing.
Holy shit.
Like, I mean, just crushing the ball.
So, this is what happened. Like, hole number, what, 3 or 4? Like, we'd already caught up to them a couple times. And we were like, oh, they suck. I was like, they suck.
Tell them how we initiated it. The reason why you went down there, because your ball was down there, and then later finding out why your ball actually ended up down there.
Okay, so I fucking, like, on hole number 3, I hit a monster drive.
I mean, he bombed it.
Like, I'm fucking, like, 300 plus. And I'm like, oh, fuck yeah. Like, I'm walking, like, up to get the ball and just act like King Dick, because this is like a Tiger Woods, like, drive. This bitch is down there. We'll get there. And everything goes. We played a hole. Well, the next hole or the following hole.
It was
hole,
a couple holes down.
We caught up to them. And anyway, like, they were going real slow. I was just like, hey, y'all got two. We've got two. Let's just scramble. You know, there's people behind us. It'll make it just go by quicker. And they were like, hey, are you the guy that hit that fucking house a while ago on hole number 3? And I was like, I ain't hit a goddamn house. I fucking bombed that ball. And it was like, no. Like, you knocked the fuck out of the ball, but it hit the side of their house and bounced back into the fairway. It bounced off a fucking, like, $300,000 home off the side of their house, and then it kicked back 50 yards into the fairway. Like, where the ball ended up and where the house was, it should not have happened.
A couple holes later, dude, we got houses all to the left of us, right? And he just yeets another one, but it slices so hard.
I promise you, we lose it
while it's going in between two houses, so God knows where it actually landed.
The drunker I got while playing, the nicer the houses got, and the worse my shot got. So, like, the fucking houses were fat, and I'm clearly
bad
not it. Like, I should have quit hitting my driver. I should have took out my 3-wood, or I should have done something else. But, like, I was literally knocking on people's bedroom windows by the time we got done. Like, it was rough.
I'm joking on his drives, but the reason I'm not joking on mine is because they didn't go over 100 yards.
Well,
so I didn't have to worry about that.
You
can't,
shit happens.
We can't talk about your drives because
I didn't drive it.
You didn't drive.
Like, he did a little chip.
Yeah. My irons is where I do my work, man.
Yeah, I've been there.
They're still not good.
I mean, no.
Sun shines on a dog's ass every once in a while. But.
Well, it was cloudy as fuck today. Because I don't remember.
That's alcohol.
That's the alcohol.
That's alcohol.
No, it was not. I was not drunk. I had a buzz. But these lesbians, I saw them. I was like, I didn't know these lesbians. But I'm king lesbian. I'm in a lesbian wedding come up. I can talk about all I want to lesbians. I saw this girl. She had a fat ass. She's playing golf. I was like,
has Josh Perry written on her?
Let's just see what happens here. First off, she's at a country club playing golf. She's not interested in me anyway. Like, yeah, I cannot make you laugh so hard and you be that stuck up to where you get naked. And it ain't going to happen. That's not the way this game works for me. She looked like she went to Georgia Southern. It ain't going to pay me a goddamn bit of attention.
Right.
So we get up to them and I say some awkward shit to them. And they're like, okay. First off, it was so weird.
It was awkward.
Because the first,
I didn't know what to say.
Because the first hole was par 5. They had already, like, hit 2 shots ahead of us, but they let us catch up to them. It took me and Jackass right here way too many shots to catch up to them on a par 5. Like, I bet when they, like, saw us hit our first 2 balls, they was like, what the fuck did we agree to?
Long after,
like, I did not know we was going to play golf with the Special Olympics. Like, this is not okay. We're fixing to dip the fuck out. Like, and, but no, they were good sports. They were very sweet. But it all happened because first hole, I saw this girl with blue shorts his ass. And I was like, I don't want to just play by myself. Because I was playing by myself, even though someone was participating. And they was cool. So whoever they were today, I don't even remember their names.
I don't either. I didn't think.
One of them had a wedding ring on. So I was like, I'm not going to get too personal. Like, I'm just going to hit my ball. I'm going to make a couple smart ass jokes and just be friendly.
Well, I saw the way they were dressed whenever we actually rode up on them and asked them to scramble, and I was like, I might embarrass the shit out of myself. Because the way they were dressed, I thought they can play golf. They can play golf.
It wasn't bad.
And the way I'm dressed, I might look like I can play golf, but I cannot.
It does not take long to get rid of that perception.
No, not at all.
The one swing.
Like, as soon as I pull my club. No, I ain't got a swing. As soon as I pull my club out of the bag, and they're going to be like, oh, yeah, he doesn't.
It fumbles it and throws it all over the damn place. We're like, yep,
Yep. Special edge.
I'm not going to lie to you. It was pretty bad.
Tees off of the pitching wedge. Yeah, that dude doesn't know what he's doing.
He tells me on the first hole, he's like, so I played in high school. Like, we went to state championship somewhere.
I played for 1 year, and I said that I played at the region match somewhere around here, and it was a nice course.
How dare I? Sorry.
Yeah. You can't give him credit where it's not there.
I'm thinking when he says this, I'm like, I'm fixing to get skunked. Like, I'm bogey golfing this. I'm finna get ficked up. I shouldn't have done this. I don't know. No. I'm also going to start telling people I ran track in high school now.
I was
just
on the golf
this one
team.
Time I ran away from motherfuckers.
But I was on a single A public school golf team. That's why I made region.
Okay, it fucking showed.
Yeah, there we go.
It showed.
But even still, I
you
think
you saw a guy who played baseball for 14 years and tried to play golf for 2 years golf. That's what you saw.
Well, there you go. Well, anyway, we're going to leave it at that. It's an hour and a half. JD, thank you
for being the fucked up individual that I am.
Yeah, whatever. I don't give a fuck.
I appreciate
this.
You
thank you for not doing
here.
Anything weird at the end of the show. Avery's first show that you've done.
Absolutely.
I've been waiting to get you on here.
There'll be plenty more, I'm sure.
Yeah, you're plenty. I like you being around. And then you.
What?
You're in Cochrane.
You I sure?
Know. Yeah. No, he doesn't. He does not know. He's cute.
It's just as long as it's not one of my words, he's okay.
Yeah, and my words get you.
Fuck you, Cody. All right. Well, thank y'all for listening to Politics, Religion, and Whiskey. We'll catch y'all next time.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.